from Luke chapter 24, verses 31 to 35. This takes place on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has just broken the bread, and that's where Scripture begins. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized them when he broke the bread. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is what happens, I believe, when we share our testimonies, when we share our stories, that we have the opportunity to open the eyes of people, to have their eyes open so that they might catch a glimpse of Jesus. And again, it's not by our words. None of us can save anybody. It's only through the Holy Spirit. And so I believe when we humbly come and share ourselves with others, the Holy Spirit can take that and use that, and people can know him. Okay, so some ground rules for this morning. Not a lot of ground rules. We just want to keep our stories, kind of keep them 3 to 5 minutes so that we can have a couple people share. There's no right way or wrong way to do this. It's your story. It doesn't have to be exciting in the eyes of the world. When you accepted Christ, there was a party in heaven. All of heaven rejoiced. And so whether you were 5 years old or 15, whether you got rescued from a gang or you grew up in the church, there was a celebration in heaven, and it is worth us recognizing and celebrating that. So, right, your testimony could be how you came to Christ and how that changed your life, how you learned something new and that really changed the trajectory of your life, or maybe how God helped you get through a very difficult season. Okay, so I'm going to stop talking. One more thing. Occupational hazard, right? You can come up to the pulpit if you would like. However, we do have the microphone here. We'll have it setting down there, so... if you want something to hide behind, which is comfortable, you're more than welcome to come up here and just talk. Or you could use the microphone down here, okay? And so, brothers and sisters, I just want to open up. If you'd like to come and share your story, I'd just invite you to do that. And as you come forward, if somebody else is already coming forward, just take a seat in the front pew.
Hi, my name's Bobby, and this is my husband, Vance, and I'm going to talk about the journey that I've been on. So about 2.5 years ago, I lost my vision, lost it totally, and how that happened was my right eye, my retina was detached, and I went through a couple surgeries, and it was unsuccessful. It was very difficult, but... you know, the doctor gave me the I'm sorry line, and, you know, it just wasn't going to be repaired. And I thought, oh, okay, I got my left eye. Well, within a couple months after that, glaucoma hit my left eye, and it hit it hard. My pressure was, like, more than double what it should have been. So I went through a surgery, went through many medications, and... all ill effects from that, and then I got another line from my glaucoma doctor, the I'm sorry line, and he said, He didn't know. He said 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years that I would lose my sight. Well, it took less than a year, but I did make the 2 days and 2 weeks. And I'm thankful for that because as I was going through the loss of my left eye, I closed my eyes one day. I wanted to sense what it was going to be like to be blind. And it was very scary. And I said to the Lord, oh, I cannot do this. And I got a feeling, and I believe it was the Lord said to me, yes, you can, and you will. And I think of the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So as I said, I did end up losing total sight, and the Blind Association gave me a reader, a book reader, because, you know, they're like, do you like to read? And I'm like, yeah, I love to read. So I got a reader, and I requested a Bible, and the second Bible they sent, I really liked, and as I was reading it one day, the scripture that stood out for me was when Jesus said, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And I just loved that verse. It was a verse of instruction, and it was a verse of promise. And, you know, there's a lot of good promises in the Bible, and they're all good. So as I thought about that a lot, where Jesus said, abide in me, my part, and I got to thinking about what that meant about, you know, reading your Bible, keeping your eyes upon the Lord, just focusing on Him. And as time went on, I had this thirst and desire just to learn more and more of the scriptures and, you know, what the Bible had to teach us. And so I read a lot of good books. I prayed about it too, and a neighbor friend came to me and invited me to a women's Bible study. So I've done that. I've had book clubs, and hopefully next month I'm going to join a second Bible study. So all these things have come into place, and I truly know that the Lord has led me in this direction. And you know, as you all know, we have a Lenten Bible study coming up, and it will be a good one, as they all have been. And I'm going to talk about the first Lenten Bible study I did here at the church was with Pastor John, and it was a Bible study on the supernatural powers and, you know, the Holy Spirit. It was given by Frank Bilbin. And, you know, it was very, very good and very powerful. And at one of the lessons, they had talked about dreams. Well, when I first lost my sight, I was amazed that I was dreaming. And in my dreams, I see 20/20. It was like good to go to bed at night because I was going to have some vision. Some of my dreams initially were not pleasant. They were, I was fighting and very frightful. And I prayed to the Lord, please, you know, take these horrible dreams away. You know, I was having horrible dreams at first. Well, and He did. He really did. I have had no further frightful dreams. And I have had dreams of receiving my vision back. I've had three dreams that at the time of the Bible study, I remembered all three. We talked about them. And, you know, those dreams are a dream of hope, that the Lord is still doing miracles. I have hope. I know that the Lord is able to restore my sight. He is a supernatural God. He can do anything. Think about it. He's our creator. So, I mean, I love that hope. And if the Lord does, if I get my sight back, it'll be the Lord's doing, and He is able. If I don't, I'm still abiding in the Lord. And so one of the things Frank Bilbin had talked about, he has a granddaughter, and she seems to have the gift of prophecy. And also he would talk about how she would pray for people, and she would have gold dust on her. I had never heard about that before. And like I said, the Bible study is really good. And one day, we were well into it, maybe near the end of the Bible study, and I was sitting there. The Bible studies were about an hour long, and toward the end of one of the lessons, Vicki Brown was sitting on my left, and she obviously looked at me, and she's like, "Bobby, you have sparkles all over you." And I said, "I don't have any sparkles in my house." And Pastor John was there too. And this was a sign of the Holy Spirit. And it was so overwhelming. And I don't know how many people had saw it, but many people saw that these sparkles on me. Well, I obviously don't see it because I don't see anything. But I went home. And I started to doubt. And I came to church the next Sunday, and I said to Pastor John, I was like, "I think it was my lotion." And he said, "Bobby, quit doubting." It was a good lesson for me. And I had to ask the Lord to forgive me of my doubts and trust in him. Keep reading, keep looking to the Lord. He's our creator. He's done many miraculous signs. He continues to do miracles. And that is where I stand today and continue to believe. And that basically is my story. I just want the congregation to know that, you know, this is a difficult journey, but not an impossible journey. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he knows the difficulties and trials, I call them bumps in the road, that everybody's going to be going through them. And to keep in fellowship with one another, that's how we help each other. And the final verse I want to share that I have read, and it kind of spoke to me, is that though I walk in darkness, the Lord is my light. And I'm just here to say that I love Jesus Christ and all that he's done for me, and that even if you go through a difficult time, that we should be here for each other and know that you never walk this road alone.
I'm not used to sharing my testimony openly. I do get occasion to do it at work, where I counsel mentally ill people on the phone, peer-to-peer. And some of the people bring up religion and want to hear about Christ. And I have an opportunity to tell them what he's done for me and what he can do for them. But this is my personal testimony. I was born on October 1st, 1951, shortly after midnight, to Eugene and Dorothy Moore, and was raised in a Christian home. I had one brother, Herb, who was 6 and a half years older than I. We attended the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in a coal mining town named Gray, PA. At age 5, I gave my heart to the Lord. At age 12, I began to question things. By age 17, I started college and began drinking. This habit lasted for 5 years. By age 18, I decided to leave the church. I thought I really didn't need it. In October of 1972, I was having academic, personal, emotional, and spiritual problems. I went to the Dean of Fine Arts, who was a Christian, and he told me that I could find solutions to my problems if I inserted God into the formula of life. You know, that made sense. I followed his advice and started making some changes in my choices. In January of 1974, I quit drinking. I renewed a friendship with a fantastic girl named Carol. I was engaged in July of that year and married in November 2nd of the same year. I established a Christian home and became a member of the Free Methodist Church in January of 1975. I thought I had arrived, but I was only a 50% Christian at the time. In April of 1977, I had a nervous breakdown in the snowmill due to a lack of sleep from a laborsome work schedule. It was only 3 years into my marriage. In 1978, my only child, a boy, Christopher, was born. Then something caught me by surprise. On August 4th, 1988, I attempted suicide. I was only 33 years old, and something happened to me in 1989 that changed my life forever. I received a call into the ministry. Little did I realize it was not to be. I became active in ministerial and church activities and visitation for the church, became a board trustee, got my deacon's license, assisted the geriatric center chaplain, led visitation teams, sang in the choir, led singing in the church, was an assistant Sunday school teacher, and delivered a few sermons. But I was still only a 90% Christian. It wasn't until I was baptized in family camp that I finally discovered I couldn't earn my salvation because it was a free gift. It was at that point that I turned it all over to God and let him have free reign in my life, realizing that it was a gift freely given that had already been bought with a price. Since then, he has been the one in control, not I. And things have gotten along much better because of that mutual agreement. Praise God, and to him be the glory.
Last week when Chris said about sharing, you know how God kind of nudges you and says, you need to do something. And he shared with me that I needed to share this. And I would love to say that my response was, like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. My response was, are you kidding? And so I've mulled over this all week, but I'm going to share it. Last 2.5 years of my life have not been what I will call my favorite. It started with the death of my mom. And my mom was my, when you're single, you know, and you don't have kids, my mom was my significant other. And it made a lot of changes in my life. And there were a lot of things that went away that had been there when my mom was alive. And then the losses just started coming, with the death of family and the death of friends and the loss of some very significant areas of my life. And I cannot say that I've lived the last 2.5 years with all the joy that God wants us to have. But I guess the tipping point for me came when my brother, who we are so close, my brother announced he was getting married. And I was thrilled because I love the woman he's dating. But he followed that with, and we're going to be moving to Tampa Bay next summer, which is this summer, yes. And I would like to say that I just accepted that all wonderfully. I did not. I did not go into fear. I went into total panic. Because here I am, I'm now the oldest member of my family, and I felt like I was going to be all alone. Even though I belong to a great church family and a wonderful Sunday school class, and I have terrific friends, but I felt very, very alone. And I wanted to be, I wanted to be joyful and happy for my brother, and I was, but I was terrified. And I asked my Sunday school class to please pray for the grace to accept this and to accept it with grace. But guess what? Grace is not getting rid of fear. And I was a mess. I was hoping for the rapture. I was hoping that God might decide, Debbie, I'm going to take you home now. And I would think, yes! I was ready. But I got to tell you, that wasn't in God's plan, obviously, or I wouldn't be standing here sharing this. God decided, okay, he knew what a mess I was, and he chose to deal with it in three ways. And the first was Chris's sermon series this summer about summer baggage. And he preached about fear. And the acronym for fear was forever expecting awful results. And believe me, if it was awful, I was expecting it. But he ended that with, but God. But God. And I'm like, God, help me. Just help me, because I don't want to live like this. And so God dealt with it in two very interesting ways. One was a shopping cart, and the other was a bat. I was at Costco, and I'd gotten a watermelon and case of water and all this stuff, and I'm pushing it down the sidewalk, and I'm thinking, you idiot. How are you going to get that down off the curb without tipping this whole cart? Because, of course, I parked at the side of the store. And I'm kind of giving myself the idiot talk in my head. And all of a sudden, I get to the curb, and this gentleman comes to me and says, hey, let me help you with this. And so he did. And I'm pushing my cart, and I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. And God's like tapping me on the shoulder and saying, now, you know, if I can deal with a shopping cart, don't you think I can deal with the rest of your life? I'm like, okay, God, I'm trying to get this. But I think the final thing in dealing with this was the bat in my house. Now, if you want to talk about things that I do not like, rodents and snakes and flying rodents are on the very top of the list. This was 11:30 at night. I have a cold. I feel lousy. I'm sleeping, sitting up, and all of a sudden, something hits me in the head. And I wake up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there is a bat in my bedroom. I don't know what the normal heart rate is. Mine went up to about 240. But I'm flying around my house dealing with this bat. You know, I shut it in the bedroom. I came back. I hid it. It went behind my bed. I'm moving furniture. All of this in my pajamas at 11:30 at night. But despite the fact that my heart rate was astronomical, my mind was incredibly clear. And I carted the bat out to the garbage can at 11:30 at night and threw it away, and I came back and I crawled into bed, and I spent the next hour thanking God and reciting the verse that I had given the kids for the Christmas concert, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And I got up the next day, and in the next days, I'm telling my friends about the bat story, and they're laughing, they're saying, you were so brave, and I said, oh no, not me, God. And they say, oh, I would have done this, and how could you do that? And I said, it was not me, it was God. And about 2 weeks later, I all of a sudden realized I wasn't dreading the move of my brother. Now, I'm going to miss him like crazy. But God let me know, no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay, because God has me in his hands. Thank you.
Amen. I wish we could just keep going. But Sunday school is going to be coming through that door here. So this is what Kurt and I, we've been talking about this. What are we going to do? Because we only have a period of time. So we are talking about another testimony Sunday, possibly Pentecost. But the other one is, if you would like to make an appointment, and we will videotape your testimony. So you won't be as intimidated speaking in front of everybody. It'll just be shown on the TV screens on Sunday morning. Okay, so that is an option I want to put out there for you. We're talking about having another testimony Sunday, but if you would prefer doing something like that, we can make that happen as well. Okay. Well, thank you, Bobby and Bert and Debbie, for sharing. And, brothers and sisters, your story is God's story, and we are told to share God's story to this world. Well, we're going to close with a word of prayer, and we'll go on to Sunday school. So let's pray. Lord, I am grateful that for the stories, the testimonies that have been shared this morning. And Lord, as when we listen, we hear you. When we listen, we hear how you get us through difficult times, how you redeem us, how, Lord, you remind us that we are yours. And so, Lord, for the three that we heard this morning, Lord, for the children that helped lead us today, Lord, for the stories that we have yet to hear, yet to have heard, we give you thanks. And that, Lord, as we leave this place of worship, Lord, that when we leave this church, we're entering into the mission field. And there are people in this world, people in this community, Lord, who desperately need to hear about you. Lord, put us around them. And then give us the courage to share with them your story. Now, here we are, dear Jesus. Please use us. It's in your name, Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.